This morning, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. We're covering quite a bit of text this morning. Luke chapter 24. And so in our text this morning, you see two men on their way to a city called Emmaus. And going about their way, they have an encounter with Jesus Christ. This is after Christ has resurrected, shortly after. And they are going through a time of trial and mourning simply because Jesus was crucified. But many times in life, we have our first encounter with Christ in similar fashion. Going through life, going about our way, going down the road from one place to another, and then he shows up. And the question is, will we let him get involved and speak into our life, even if we don't understand just who he is? And will we seek more of him to gain a greater understanding of him? You see, these men in our text, as you will see, had a choice. Invite Jesus into their home, into their private life, or just keep on moving on with life and allow Jesus to continue down the path that he was walking without a better understanding of who the resurrected Christ really was to them. And today, some of us may be faced with this same choice. So let's look at our text, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Again, quite a bit of reading to start off, so try to stick with me. But it says, starting in verse 13, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, saying, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see." Verse 25, "And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself." Verse 28, "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went to stay with them." Verse 30, "When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." This morning I want to preach a sermon I've entitled "Breaking Bread with the Resurrected Christ." Let's pray. Father God, help us this morning, God. Let your spirit, God, speak to us today. Lord, your resurrected spirit, God, your life within us, Father, let us feel your presence, God. Let us hear from you today, God. We trust in you. We lean upon you in each and every way. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, of course, we are on Easter Sunday. Here we are. Everybody knows it. Everybody's got their plans for the egg hunt or already did them and all of these different things. And there are many common topics on Easter Sunday. So as we know, and if you don't know, you're about to know, at the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was crucified by the Pharisees. You see, Jesus had enemies because, well, the truth has enemies. That's just the reality of life since the beginning of time. And so the Pharisees and scribes caused such a revolt against Christ that they got him crucified for basically doing no wrong. Not basically, completely doing no wrong. And this story is, of course, accounted throughout the Gospels and in several places spoken of in the New Testament. But it was also prophesied hundreds of years before it ever happened in the Old Testament. We see many of these prophecies in the book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms. Also, he was before he was crucified, he was beaten. Excuse me. He was beaten and whipped. He was abused. He was forced to carry his own cross, but was physically unable because of the physical damage in which he had endured. In fact, the Bible says that he took so much physical damage, you could hardly tell he was even human. After they did this to him, they nailed him to the cross, and he was hung to his death and then buried in a tomb. But that was Friday. Today is Sunday. 3 days after he was crucified, just as Jesus prophesied that he would do, and also just as it was prophesied hundreds of years before he ever set foot on earth in the Old Testament, again also primarily in Isaiah and Psalms, just as the prophecy stated, just as Jesus said he would, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He has risen. He defeated death. This is important to us because he proved that he was who he said he was. You see, Jesus could have never resurrected from the grave, and he still could have died on behalf of our sins, cleansed us of our sins, and been our Lord and Savior. But he rose from the grave to prove that he was who he said he was. Anybody play horse before? You play horse and you get the H, you shoot a shot and you make it, and then if you make it, the other person has to also make it, and then if they don't make it, they get a letter. If you miss, then it's just the other person's turn, they get a chance. And so what will happen, and bad players play pig because they have a hard time making three shots. It's faster to spell it. Once you get to the last letter, whether it's a G or an E, depending on which way you're playing it, the person who makes it, they make it. The next person misses it, they miss it. Ha, that's a G, you're a pig. Or that's an E, you're a horse. Then they say, prove it. Prove that you got the skill to make that shot twice. Prove it. You see, they made the shot already. They won the game. They could make an argument. They could say, no, bro, you got all your letters. Game over, dude. But if you're really confident in your baller status, you're going to prove it. You see, Jesus didn't have to prove it, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to raise from the grave, but he did it anyway. You see, Jesus defeated death for himself to prove that he could defeat it on our behalf. He didn't have to do it, but he did. You see, the war was already won on the cross, but he ran up the score with the resurrection. The devil is defeated, and we are given new life because of it. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus asks each and every one of us the same question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Because Jesus is near to us. The question is, do you perceive it? Do you realize that he is in your midst? Luke 24, verse 32. A focus from the text that we read this morning, as they realized who Jesus was, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures? You see, before they even realized who Jesus was, before they realized they were walking down the road with the resurrected Christ, they felt his presence without understanding it. They felt the words that he spoke without truly understanding who they were hearing. They acknowledged before they saw his face and understood his power that their hearts burned within them. But never moving beyond this phase is detrimental to anybody who has this encounter with Christ. This is the result of only having a formal relationship with Christ. Coming to church, hearing the word, singing the songs, you feel the burn within you, you get excited once a week, a couple times a month, a few times a year, maybe even only Christmas and Easter. You come and you feel the words of God burn within your heart. You feel good. You feel encouraged. Maybe you feel convicted. They build you up. Jesus is near in these moments, but you don't fully understand it. Maybe you're not sure what to do with it. And many people, they experience this and they go home and they return to their lives. You see, the issue is not many people, after having these experiences, even once, twice, or 100 times, ever truly invite Jesus into their homes, into their quiet places, into their personal lives. You see, we come into the house of God and we feel the burn of the scriptures. It's not the eloquence of my speaking. Y'all know I don't got that. I just literally stuttered right before saying that. It's not the brilliance of the presentation. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit burning within you. And you feel Him, but you don't fully understand Him. And then you leave this place and Jesus is standing at the altar right where you met Him. And He wants you to invite Him home with you. But you say, hey, I'll see you next week, Jesus. I'll catch you Wednesday. Same time, same place, same channel. And I'll be just as confused as today. See, we come to church and we get answers, but we don't take the answers home. We come to church and we get the experience, but we don't take the living Christ home. You see, I wonder, you guys know I always wonder stuff like this. Did Jesus try to spark conversation with anybody else on the road? We know the story, of course. We just read it, of these two men that Jesus talked to. Was he the first people that he tried? I mean, these guys were bumming, dude. Like, they were big Jesus fans. Like, they had the top fan badge on Facebook because they loved Jesus that much. They were like, man, this guy, he was for real. He was a prophet. We thought maybe he was the Christ, and he died. They let him kill him. He wasn't who we thought he was. That's kind of what they're thinking, right? They're trying to process. So they're going through it, man. They are feeling life, the weight of life. And they even ask, Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, bro, are you the only person in all of Jerusalem that has no idea what happened 3 days ago? Like, this was a massive event. This would be like almost equivalent to like, the Twin Towers being knocked down and people are like, what happened the other day? Like, what are you guys talking about? That happened? This was a massive world event. I mean, you guys, it's hard to understand because we weren't there 50 years down the road, people will think the same thing about 9/11. It's hard to understand. This is an event, guys, think of this, that literally changed history. That we know all of human history by AD and BC because the life of Jesus Christ turned history upside down. This was the biggest event in the history of mankind. It shook the earth to its core, and these men were at the heart of it. They were feeling it. How many, if any, I don't know, did Jesus approach on that road and say, hey, why the long face? And they were like, just listen, dude, I don't have time for this. I'm depressed. I'm bummed. This sucks. We thought the answers to life were here. Just get lost, man. I can't handle it right now. You ever told that to somebody? No? Oh. Me too. Did he try to talk to anybody else on that road? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know the encounter that he had with these two people. We do know that they admitted that even though they didn't see Christ for truly who he was in this time, that they realized their hearts were burning within them in this encounter. Did these other people, maybe that he passed by, there, Jesus came by and said, hey, what's going on? Are you guys all right? And they felt something within them, but they were yet too wrapped up in their own emotions, their own distraught feelings, their own trials that they were facing, that they just simply sent him away. Too much going on in life. They had somewhere to be. They had an appointment to meet. They didn't stop to let Jesus into the conversation or even into their homes to allow him to truly open their eyes to who Jesus is. See, we don't know. We don't know if there was any other encounters on that road. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask. I like to think I'll ask questions like that. I think when we get to heaven, we'll just be like, and then stay that way for the rest of eternity. Right, we are, oh man, I got a lot of stuff to ask Jesus. And then we get to heaven, we're like, oh. It's actually the quietest place in all the universe because nobody's talking because they're just like, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. I'm pretty sure my kids come up with a couple questions. They got a lot of questions. You see, we go through life. We come to church. We feel the words of God burn within us. We feel the Holy Spirit convict the depths of our hearts. But then sometimes we say, you know what? I just got too much going on to let this in right now. People close. They get close enough to Jesus to feel that. But they do not ultimately give their lives to him. They do not ultimately invite him in to their private place. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the demise of the Sunday-only Christian, of the Christian who comes to church every Sunday. Hey, in our fellowship, maybe even Wednesday. But that's all. That's all you. Hey, Jesus, this is the place we meet. The other 6 days of the week, I got work, I got school, I got my relationships, I got this, I got that, I got my hobbies. But every Sunday, Jesus, I'll be here. We'll dap it up and we'll talk and then I'll go my way. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And then this is the demise. They become futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. But this is the church culture today. This is all that's expected by many churches today. And this is why the church world is in shambles today. Because as long as the congregation is showing up and filling the pews and also filling the offering basket, then they don't care. It's all right. We've created an organization that is sustaining itself and buying the pastor a couple of vacation homes. It's all good. But Jesus Jesus says, no, it's not enough to just know me. You have to bring me into your life. Sunday morning doesn't cut it. Even Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night doesn't cut it. There's 7 days in a week. And our lives are supposed to be His. The reality that we face is that simply knowing of God, acknowledging His existence, is not enough. It is not what God wants for us. It is not what God wants from us. He didn't create us simply just to know Him and to come over to His house every now and then. He created us to know Him on a personal level, to seek after Him, and to know and understand His love. Because simply just believing in Him doesn't cut it. James 2:19 paints it quite clearly. You believe that God is one and you do well. But even the demons believe and they shudder. That's quite the statement, because we all know the demons are toast. Yet they believe that God is real. They know who He is. But the Bible says knowing who He is isn't the point. Hearing the words of Christ and even having His words burn within our hearts simply isn't all it was meant to be. If those men at the end of that road, it says that Jesus acted as if He was going to keep going. That was a test. Jesus knew exactly what He wanted them to do. He says that Jesus acted as if He was going to keep going. If they were just like, all right, dude, see you later, and then they went into their home and Jesus kept going, then they would have missed the whole point of what Jesus was trying to do with them. He wanted to come in. He wanted to break bread with them. Simply just knowing is not enough. Simply just feeling that burn within us from the Word of God on a Sunday morning is not enough. Our walk with Christ is meant to be more than just an occasional afternoon stroll, but rather a day by day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, personal and intimate journey side by side with our resurrected Savior. A long, hard walks, but also personal and quiet time in our personal lives and everything in between. Because when you do this is when you draw near to Him, and that is when He reveals Himself to you. When we invite Christ in, this speaks of so much more than just the occasional talk or chit-chat or casual conversation. You see, inviting somebody into your home for dinner in this day and age was a lot different than just like, hey, bro, come on over. We'll make some tacos. This was a very personal experience. This is not just a casual thing. It's so much more than church a few times a year or a few times a month or even a few times a week. This is so much more than just popping open the verse of the day every day. Jesus wants so much more with you, and He wants so much more for you than just feeling that burn within you every now and then. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Obviously, this is metaphorical. We don't have any doors on us for Him to physically enter through. So what does this knocking really sound like? Okay, everybody quiet. Oh, that's Jesus. It doesn't sound like a knock. If you've been listening for a knock all these years, you've been listening for the wrong thing. So what does this knock really sound like? What does this really sound like to you and I? Well, verse 32 from our text, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road? That's what that knock feels like. That when you hear the words of God, when you're in prayer and you feel His Spirit pressing upon you, when your stomach turns, when you're about to make a decision that you know is wrong. That's what that knock feels like. Did not our hearts burn within us? See, it's not really much of a knocking. It's more of a burning. And no, it's not heartburn. But let me ask you, is your heart not burning within you? If your heart is not burning within you, you have to ask the question, why? Now, the knocking metaphor works quite nicely here, though. Because the same reason why you wouldn't hear somebody literally knocking on your door at home is the same reason why you don't feel the words of Jesus burning within you. One, too much noise. We go on outreach all the time and you hear bah, 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 from the inside. And you're like, they ain't ever going to hear this knock, but I'll give it a shot anyway. And sure enough, they don't. Kids screaming, dogs barking, all the chaos within the house, loud noises. Somebody comes and knocks on your door. Listen, Jesus ain't going to kick that door down. He's going to knock and he's going to hope you're ready for it. And if you're not ready for it, if there's chaos ensuing, if there's fights taking place, if there's crazy loud music blasting, too much noise, distractions, you got your headphones on, you're blocking things out, you're not going to hear it. But if you are expecting company to come over to your house, you are eagerly listening for their knock. You might even be peeking out the window waiting for them to show up, depending on how excited you are. So you don't feel the burning within you. Let me ask you, are you looking for it? Or are you too distracted to hear his knock? The second thing is you're not even home. You can't hear somebody knock on your door if you're not home. I know we got the Ring doorbells nowadays. Don't even get started on that. Your battery's dead on that too, okay? Too loud, too crazy, or you're not even home at all. Are you occupying and tending to your own soul? Are you caring for your own life? We get so disappointed and so distraught with our own lives that we simply just live outside of ourselves. What does that mean? It looks like the workaholic, 80-something plus hours a week, can't ever stay home. It looks like the yes man. Hey, bro, you want to do this? Yeah, dude. Yeah, hey, you want to go here? Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, can you work Saturday? Yeah, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to stay busy and do something and make people happy that makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. It looks like the addict always using drugs and highs to escape the realities of life. It looks like the promiscuous from relationship to relationship, from one person to another, constantly trying to find that satisfaction within them, hiding from themselves. Some little more practical things. The over the top gamer or the excessive movie watcher. I don't know about you guys, but when I watch a good movie and as soon as those credits start rolling, I feel like I just left some type of alternate reality and came back to reality. It's like an escape. It's like my life hurts so bad, so I'm going to watch 25 movies in a row and then go to sleep or play 16 straight hours of video games. That's what I'm talking about. That you're so far separated from your own life that you're not even spiritually home. That you can't hear God knocking on your heart. You don't feel that burn because you're not even present in your own life. If that's you, then return home. If that's you, then turn down the noise and listen for him. And then you will hear something that is completely and entirely undeniable within you. You will feel that burn. You won't understand it because you haven't invited him all the way in yet, but you will know that is something that I cannot ignore. These men didn't even realize they were walking with Jesus, but they knew they had to talk to him longer. Listen, don't keep going. They had these excuses. It's getting dark. The city's settling down. Just come on inside. We'll give you some bread. We'll fellowship a little longer. They didn't understand exactly who they had before them, but they knew he had more stuff that they needed. He knew they wanted to hear him talk a little longer. And when you hear that, when you feel that, you need to respond, and you need to respond immediately. They urged him strongly, the Bible says, stay with us, for it is toward the evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now, it's easy to read a story like this and think, man, what the heck? How could they not recognize Jesus? Like literally the most polarizing figure in the world that time. And even, I will say, the most polarizing figure in the history of the earth. How did they not recognize him? I'd be like the Beatles walking through here and they'd be like, who are those weird British looking dudes? I'm not going to lie. That's a bad example because I probably wouldn't recognize the Beatles. But you know what I'm saying. The Beatles were big. There are a lot of people that would recognize them. Jesus was way bigger than the Beatles, guys. That's my point. How could they not recognize him? Like, we can just look at that and go, how did that's crazy, and then move on. But the real question is, for you and I, is would you recognize him? When you have an encounter with Christ that you don't fully understand, do you recognize him? Once that takes place, have you let him into your home, spiritually speaking, into the quiet places of your life? Into the depths of the things that you think are deep, dark secrets, but God already knew them anyway. You see, so many people feel abandoned by God, but they've never let him in the first place. And he's standing at the door, knocking, hoping we will receive him, but we're home, alone. In the midst of our mess, complaining that he's rejected us, but we've never even let him in. You see the picture here? It's time to let him in and to begin breaking bread with the resurrected Christ. Again, this image of breaking bread with one another, it's just so much more of a personal experience in this day and age than it is today. It still is pretty personal today. But back then, it was like you don't invite people over to your house unless like you really, really super care about them or trust them. I'm not sure why. It was part of the culture. It's just culture thing. Sometimes cultures do things you don't really understand. Some people kiss each other every time they see each other. I think it's kind of gross. It's a culture thing. Breaking bread with the resurrected Christ resembles bringing him into the most personal places of your life. You see, the point, the entire point of the resurrection wasn't just so that we could know of him and hit him up here and there and visit him at church, but that we could walk with him and live our lives with him and invite him into our homes spiritually, into the most private areas of our lives, and break bread with the resurrected Christ so that we as individuals can know him personally. Because the truth is, no one can know Jesus for you. No one can live for God for you. You have to invite him into your own life personally by your own choice. And once you do this, your eyes will be open to understand him on a whole new level. You might be thinking to yourself, I've been coming to church for a while. Or maybe I've not been coming to church for a while. Or maybe I feel like I've been going to church my whole life, but I don't really get what pastor's talking about. I don't understand this. I don't understand Jesus, right? Yeah, I come to church. It feels good. I get goosebumps sometimes. And the songs sometimes, you know, they're pretty good. But I don't feel like I understand Jesus. Have you opened your heart? The most difficult areas, the most trialing spots, the deepest, what you think are darkest parts of your life, and let the light of Christ within them. Are you willing to break bread with him? As our text says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is a supernatural revelation of Jesus, who he is, his character, his love for you, his power, and so much more. If you've thought to yourself, listen, I see all these people at church and they seem like they got this thing going with Jesus, but I just don't get it. I just don't feel it. Have you done this? Because just as we see in our text, a supernatural revelation, they saw his face different than before. As soon as they break bread, there's powerful symbolism here. As soon as they break the bread, as soon as they truly experienced Christ in their life, they saw him completely differently than they did before. They experienced him on a personal level like never before. What they experienced is not found for you until you truly invite him in and commune with him and supernaturally come face to face with your Savior. Do you feel like he is far from you today? But right now your heart is burning within you. That's the knock. That's him saying, listen, I can't fix the inside from the outside. I can't do anything for you until I'm in your life. But if you let me in, you'll see me in a whole new light. Whole new light, the light, he brings the light. Your life might be dark, he brings the light. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Think about this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He comes all the way to your stinking door, and all we got to do is open it and draw near to him. The solution is simple. Seek the Lord more than just at church. More than just through the daily Bible verse, more than through some cool things you see on social media. Draw near to him and he will meet you. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, a few of the most popular verses in all the Bible. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, many people stop right there, though. He gives some more details afterwards as to what we are supposed to do to achieve this. You see, I want you guys, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. When you read the Bible, there's a promise. There's almost always a command that goes with it. When God promises you something, he says, if you want to attain this, then you must do this. I have it for you, but take this step. So he says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But then verse 12, he continues and says, then you will call upon me, you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You want the plans that God has for you? You want the future and the hope? Then look at verse 13. He says, seek me with all of your heart, and then you will find me. God has great plans for your life, each and every one of you. All the people driving past this church. Every person you've ever come into contact with. Or will come into, every person yet to walk on this earth, yet to be born, God has great plans for these lives. But the truth is, you will not see them unless you call upon his name and you seek his face. And when you do this, the Bible promises that he will hear you and you will find him. And your life will never be the same once you've made the choice to invite him in and break bread with the resurrected Christ. in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening, this morning.